Cool, he grunted. Contact me about a time tomorrow, she told him.
Guess what, Matt?
Dee asked roughly.
In case you didn't pick up on it, you get to return the favor for Mr. Six tomorrow night.
Fuck, Maddox puffed out, his black eyes so glazed. He was so getting off on what was being done to him. She wasn't sure he was actually replying to Dee when he said, yeah. She got up, shoving her phone back in her waistband.
Thanks for the time and the show. You all do brilliant work. Look forward to tomorrow night.
Later, she muttered.
Pleasure,
Dee groaned. Then,
faster, baby, bounce.
Molly bounced and shot Six a happy, zoned out, turned on, sexed up grin. Which seriously, all that meat all hers to watch fuck and to get fucked with, sweet and adoring too?
Six wouldn't blame her if she looked like that permanently.
She moved away from the trio. She did a sweep of the ladies' room, which was shared by female doms and subs. It was not a thing like the dom lounge at the Honey, far more utilitarian, but did have a small rest area with lockers. The whole place also had nothing in it but a couple of women refreshing makeup. Time to meet Stellan at the Honey, but not enough time to meet him at home and go together. She texted him on her way out that she had to meet him there, and it wasn't the loud club music that was the reason she didn't hear it, even though it sounded right over her head. It was a fact that it was up in the soundproofed office, with the window overlooking the club, where the beep signaled that her text had been delivered. Six was somewhat surprised when Stellan wasn't in the observation room at the Honey when she arrived. He'd replied to her text, "On my way, X," and their home was closer to the Honey than the Bolt was. She was worried and about to text him again when her phone binged.
"Held up, there soon, X."
She let out a sigh of relief and left the room to get them drinks. On the way in, she'd seen Naya and Ami, who were seated at a booth in a way that conveyed it was definitely a getting-to-know-you session. Therefore, she hadn't interrupted. She just caught their eyes before she'd gone back to the observation room of the playroom they'd be using in order to meet up with Stellan. By the time she returned after ordering drinks to be delivered, the couple was in the playroom, seeing two preliminaries. And it would seem it was Six's night to view inspiration, because it would appear that Naya had been emboldened by Ami's response the night before. She was taking them somewhere deeper, maybe even darker, and Six's attention peaked. She was sitting forward in her armchair, not because it was intriguing, though it was, but because she needed to be ready to intervene if Naya took Ami to a place he didn't want to be, but was too into her or too much of a guy to stop it. The door opened, and she turned her head to see Stellan enter, wearing his usual for the club suit, looking dashing, hot, and utterly bangable. He closed the door behind him, glanced at her, looked to the window and hummed, "Mmm," as he moved her away. She tipped her head back. When he arrived at her chair, Stellan took her invitation, bending and touching his lips to hers, before his eyes dropped to her collar and warmed. He lifted a finger to touch the gold at her throat lightly, in a weird way that seemed more doting than his normal doting. And she knew he liked her collared, before seating himself beside her. He reached for the drink that was sitting on the table on his other side, and leveled his gaze on the window.
"That's interesting," he remarked before taking a sip.
She looked back to the scene where Ami was roped, bent over the end of a spanking bench. His arms were trussed from the tops of his biceps to his wrists at his back, in what could only be described as a work of art. Not near the work of a trainee,
the ropes and knots also spanning his beefy thighs. He'd been ordered to don a modified jockstrap that bound his waist and under his buttocks, but was open at the front, the elastic only surrounding his privates, not obscuring them. More rope was tied around his balls, and tight knots bound the length of his hard shaft. He'd been collared, like last night, with thick iron, a rope from a hoop at the back tied to the rope binding his wrists, this holding his head back and stretching his arms up. It was clear Naya had gone shopping after last night's festivities, because, up his ass, she'd tailed him with what Six could only describe as a warrior's tail. The plug had been substantial. The tail was black and looked scaly. It was shortish and curled up in a perfect arc, the flared, dragon-like tip of it pointing at the small of his back. And last, he was gagged by a pair of aqua stretch lace panties that overextended his cheeks and tied at the hook on the back of his collar. Naya was currently cooing over him, running oiled hands over his body, his bindings, lightly fucking his ass with his tail, massaging his swollen trussed balls, and often circling a finger what had to be maddeningly around the tip of his cock. She didn't wait long to put him to the test, Stellan observed. I'm concerned, Six told him. She looked Stellan's way and saw him studying the scene closely before he said, Ami appears to be relatively comfortable, or as comfortable as one can be that way, and enjoying it. Ami might let her drag him barefoot across broken glass with a tail up his ass and a leash around his cock and balls that she's pulling at, hard. Stellan turned to her. You know, that is the place we're supposed to get them to, darling. They've had one scene, and she isn't out of training. An unmistakable noise came, followed by a different one, and they both turned to the windows with Stellan noting, The soft sell is over. He was correct, considering Naya was switching Ami's ass, outer back, and inner thighs. And she didn't lie. She was adept with a switch. They had a side view of him, and with each blow they heard a garbled groan from Ami and saw the flinch around his eyes. But it could not be missed that after she really got going, his cock was straining its bounds, and it didn't take long before his control snapped and he started humping the air, his hips slamming against the bench. His dick tied up in a way release was out of the question. It had to be agony. And very visibly it was also ecstasy. Uncontrolled, muffled words started to come from behind aqua panties, and Naya went at him viciously with the switch, making Six tense in her seat in preparation to move in and give Naya warning she was taking it too far, before Naya stopped. Suddenly, she dropped her whip and jerked him up further with a hand under his chin, so his chest was off the bench. She straddled it and shoved his face in her pussy. Come, mon guerrier, she purred, and no eating. Ami's torso heaved and she stroked his bald head. I think she has it in hand, Stellan drawled. Six reached out and took a drink. When she set it back, she found Stellan's hand and wrapped her fingers around. His curled instantly into hers. What held you up? She asked. Something unforeseen, he murmured before he took another sip of his own drink and set it aside. He turned his gaze to her. Did you get your job sorted? It was on the tip of her tongue to tell him about it. But she had a feeling if he knew about the warlords and their backup, he might not be a fan. And it was just too sordid to touch the likes of Stellan. The bad business was also happening relatively openly, and Six had a feeling with some time and legwork, she'd have the evidence Josh and Barkley needed in pretty short order. And then it would be over. "Not really," she answered. "I'll have to keep at it tomorrow night." "Ah." He looked back to the window. She played with his fingers, wondering if she'd made the right decision and instead should share.
"Just your tongue."
"That's it, my sweet slave.
That's it,"
Six heard Naya say as she turned her attention back to the scene. The panties were around Ami's neck, and Naya had his head in her hands, guiding it up and down between her legs. Stellan disengaged their fingers, but only to glide his down her inner arm. "Would you like to ride my hand while she works him?" he offered. "I'm not there yet, baby. I was a little too freaked with where she was going." She felt his gaze, so she looked to him to see him openly surprised. She shot him a jaunty grin. "You with me now. I'm sure I'll get here. Zip open your pants, darling. If I want access, I don't want to have to ask." She kept grinning at him as she leaned forward and did as ordered. He studied her with an odd expression she couldn't quite place, before his fingers captured hers again when they were free. They curled around her hand, which he brought to his lips. "Love you," she whispered, watching and feeling those beautiful lips against her skin, remembering another time he'd had those lips to her fingers, glad she'd had both times and hoping there would be more. "And I you," he replied, his eyes warming, which was not odd at all. They both turned to the scene, watched Naya allow limited head to be given to her before she shoved him deep, pressed up into his face deeper, and demanded it all with no breathers until she had an incredibly attractive and openly intense orgasm. She then pushed him up to his knees, removed the spanking bench, slipped the knots on his cock so the ropes fell away, but not the ones from the base and his balls, and got down on all fours in front of him. Reaching between her legs to guide him in, she ordered him to fuck her. Watching his reddened ass filled with that awesome tail bunching and releasing with his thrusts, his craggy, handsome face a mask of pain and pleasure, as he fucked, bound and tailed, without hope of release, Six muttered, "I might need those fingers now, baby." Stellan let her hand go and relocated his, replying, "And I'm here to oblige, my darling." Arms bound behind his back, Ami fucked Naya to another orgasm while Stellan fingered Six to her own. After, Naya unbound the root of his dick and his balls, strapped on a substantial phallus, turned Ami toward the windows, relieved him of his tail, and Stellan shoved Six's hands down his pants so she could give him a hand job, while Naya fucked Ami to a splendidly thunderous orgasm, during which he offered his mistress a highly impressive load. One she wasn't quite happy with, however, so she squeezed his balls and jacked his dick through several violent aftershocks with reciprocal jets of cum. Through this, Six used her other hand to pull out Stellan's handkerchief from his trouser pocket and covered the head of his cock with it before she put her fingers to his cheek and turned him to look at her so she could watch his face as she finished stroking him to climax. Ami and Naya were something. But she'd take Stellan's quiet climax from a hand job delivered by her any day of the week. When he'd recovered, they kissed soft and wet before Stellan took the handkerchief from her, straightened his trousers, and shoved it back in his pocket. Six leaned sideways, dropping her head to his shoulder and looking back to the window. Naya had pushed Ami down to his forehead on the floor, and she was still fucking his ass, though now slow and steady, rather than as she'd gone at him. Still in training or no, ex-model or no, it must be said, the woman could fuck like a marine.
Thank me, my handsome slave, she ordered softly, even tenderly,
definitely affectionately. Intense, explosive scene, getting to know you session in a booth prior. This held promise, and that made Six happy.
Thank you, mistress, he said roughly and immediately.
Your offering was substantial, but shall we try that again? Naya asked, still fucking his ass.
Six grinned when Ami answered, Abso-fucking-lutely, my mistress.
It's very soon in our acquaintance, Mungerie, but I'd like you to think about fighting for me at the gladiator games.
It would be my honor, my mistress.
I'll expect you to fight wearing your tail, she told him.
Whatever you desire.
And fuck with it when you win for me.
Your pleasure is mine. Tuesday's going to be fantastic, Six declared. Stellan chuckled.
You deserve a reward, Naya told Ami,
not ceasing and taking his ass, and Six knew she'd positioned him like that, facing the window, forehead to the floor, so that her observers could better enjoy the ongoing show. Kind of her.
I'm thinking suspension, Naya stated musingly. Face down, arms like that, calves cocked, legs spread wide parallel to the floor. But I'll release your head. You look so lovely in ropes, and I'm sure you'll enjoy watching your cock jet for me while you watch me disappear inside you.
Fuck yeah, Ami growled. Suspending that behemoth with ropes? Definitely Naya had been emboldened. It seems we're going to have another long night, Stellan noted. Six lifted away from his shoulder and looked at him. Do you have more handkerchiefs? He shook his head. So I guess I'll have to use my mouth. Stellan's hand darted out. He caught her chin, pulled her close, and right before he kissed her, he smiled. When he was done, he didn't pull away. He ordered, "Pants off, darling. Me first." Six didn't make her master wait. 23. Ceaselessly. Six. The next morning, hands over hers pressed into the wall over the headboard, Stellan fucked Six from behind on their knees. He capped one of her hands against the wall, took the other one, shoved it between her legs, and used her finger to manipulate her clit. Six moaned. Come, he growled into her neck. Six came. Stellan waited her out, then he came. He was buried inside her, cupping their hands between her legs, fingers spread around their connection, and licking and sucking at his mark on her neck after they both came down. His lips slid up to her ear.
You wore your collar last night.
Her lips tipped up, and that could be heard in her, yes.
Did you do that for me?
She blinked at the wall, confused at the question. Because it was an obvious yes, that piece of jewelry had totally taken on a certain significance, and he knew that. He kissed her neck and went back to her ear, expounding,
To have me with you.
It sounded like that was important to him, as of course it would be. And she hadn't thought about it, but like she subconsciously put it on for him the first time, knowing what she'd be up to last night, she'd done it again, to have him with her. Yes, she whispered.
He slid out and moved off the bed. Six turned her head to watch him go, surprised, considering he usually arranged her comfortably if she wasn't that way already when they were done. And often if he was leaving the bed for good, he'd take her with him. She fell to her hip on the mattress, dragging the sheet up to her lap, staring at where he'd disappeared through the arch to the bathroom, feeling something funny happening in her stomach. He sauntered back in, naked, glorious, and carrying three black velvet bags with long, dangling, silken black tassels. His eyes were on her all the way and didn't leave her even as he sat at the edge of the bed and tossed the bags unceremoniously in her lap. They were surprisingly heavy-ish.
"I have these made for you," he declared abruptly. "And as I very much appreciate your chic style, I would wish to do nothing to interfere with it. However, whenever one of them matches an outfit you put together, I want you to wear it. And any time we're playing or at the club, you'll have one on."
She watched him while he said this, then looked down at the bags in her lap.
"Open them," he ordered.
Six reached to one and tugged the drawstring open.
"In time, I'll have more made in different styles, so you'll have a choice. And you'll wear my collar every day."
She upended the bag and felt the cold, heavy gold against her hand. It was a choker just like the one she had, exactly. Except unlike hers, which was costume, she knew by the weight it was pure gold.
"Holy God," she whispered. "The other two are the same, one in platinum. The other is real rose gold."
She lifted her head to look at him.
"Stellan, I can't. This is..."
He looked direct in her eyes.
"You're mine, and I want this communicated ceaselessly."
She loved that. She'd totally go with that. But... these had to be expensive, she noted. "And custom-made?"
"Darling, look around you," he returned. "I think I can afford it."
"No one's ever given me something this amazing," she whispered. He leaned into her, brushed his lips against hers, pulled back, and stared again into her eyes.
"Now they have," he decreed, pushed from the bed and stated, "Em will be here soon, and I have an early meeting. It's time to shower."
Six watched him again disappear through the archway and looked down at her lap. She undid the two remaining bags and withdrew the platinum and rose gold chokers. They were crazy gorgeous. But the way Stellan had given them to her... maybe he didn't want to make a big deal of it. Maybe... he thought the first substantial gift he'd given her, or gifts, plural, that didn't include when he gave her a gladiator, of course. He didn't want her to feel uncomfortable. He surely had to know. No one had given her anything close to this in meaning and expense. And with what they were and who she was to him, it meant something she had them. And perhaps he simply wanted her to accept them without any drama. That had to be it. Though she couldn't help but think that it wasn't. She couldn't help but think that offering her something that startlingly lovely should have had more fanfare, even a wee bit. But maybe that wasn't Stellan. She hadn't learned this side of him yet. And seriously, she thought, as she fingered the glittering treasure in her hands, she shouldn't be complaining. Six walked down to breakfast in an olive-green suede tank, tan short shorts, and nude suede high-heeled sandals, with her rose-gold choker at her neck.
"Hola, mija," Em cried.
"Hey, Em," Six replied.
After giving Em a smile, she watched closely as Stellan did, as he always did. He made her a cup of coffee. He brought it to her as she was downing vitamins with grape juice.
Ami texted this morning. He'll be here shortly. He shared.
She stared up at him in surprise.
He will?
He needs to speak with you, darling, for obvious reasons.
Oh, right.
It really isn't necessary, I get it. She pointed out the obvious.
This isn't Ami's way. The relationship was short but meaningful. Regardless, he would not show that disrespect, Stellan replied.
It still wasn't necessary, but she nodded.
I told him you're rather busy, so he said he'd come immediately. It shouldn't take long.
I have time, Six said.
Breakfast, Em announced.
Six was almost done with her scrambled eggs, bacon, refried beans, and tortillas when the doorbell rang.
I'll get it, Em declared, bustling toward the door.
Em maybe shouldn't be around when this goes down, Six pointed out when the lady was out of earshot.
You can take him to the library, the front room, my study. This house is your house. Have this conversation wherever you wish.
Stellan returned offhandedly.
You're not going to be there with me? She asked, again surprised.
He turned from his plate to her.
There's no need. You are very taken. It appears if he isn't yet, he's going to be. My presence is unnecessary.
She loved the trust, smiled that to him, and bent in to kiss his jaw.
Ami is here, Em announced, and Six and Stellan turned on their stools to see him trailing in behind Em. I interrupted your breakfast, Ami said, clearly not liking that idea.
It's cool, Six replied, sliding off her stool.
Would you like some? Em offered. No, ma'am, I'm good.
Ami declined. Stellan came off his stool. They greeted and shook hands, then Ami turned to Six.
This won't take long, he told her. Then I'll leave you to your morning.
She nodded and lifted an arm to the hall, inviting,
Let's go chat.
He shifted to the side to allow her to pass him, and she did, deciding to take him to Stellan's study, because she thought of the library as their place, considering what happened in it. And the front room might seem too formal, even if it wasn't decorated that way. She led him there, turned to him when they were both inside, and started things.
You really didn't have to do this, she said.
Not only was I there watching when you gave yourself to her, she shot him a big smile. I set that up. He bowed his head briefly and lifted it.
I know, Six, but you owned me. You worked me, I performed for you. I liked it. It meant something to me. I think it meant something to you. It wouldn't be right if I didn't do this.
It meant something to me, definitely. She agreed softly.
So I had to do this.
The smile she gave him then was gentler.
You're a very chivalrous sub.
Finally, he smiled back at her.
I have the feeling I'm gonna need to be.
She laughed quietly.
Oh, yes. I think you've got a bit of a princess on your hands.
Ami chuckled through saying,
This man is not complaining.
I noticed that.
She teased and tilted her head to the side. I witnessed the naked stuff went over pretty well. How'd the conversation in the booth go? She asked.
I'm taking her out tonight.
Six's eyes got big and happy.
A date? He nodded.
Yeah.
She seems very sweet,
Six noted.
She's great. Out of the scene, she's great, he confirmed. Then grinned a particular kind of grin. In the scene? Shit.
I was worried last night would be too much for you, Six admitted.
He shook his head.
We talked about it beforehand. She was hinting at things I could tell she was too wired to try. I told her to let loose. We had a hand signal when I was gagged, and obviously a safe word when I wasn't. Anyway, I'm into that. I like to be pushed. The further, the better.
It's just that the Dom has to be skilled at giving it for it to work for me. She appears to be a natural. She said she's always been nervous in scenes, so has sucked at it, he declared. Six was stunned. Really? That was why that Arius guy was so keen to set us up. She wasn't connecting. But also, last night after, when we talked through the play, I think none of the subs she trained on were a big enough challenge for her. She needs to go deep to get the big payoff, and if she isn't feeling it, she's not going to be able to do that. But I think she was worried she'd break a sub, so she didn't even try. And holding back was frustrating her. That particular grin returned. She's not feeling so frustrated anymore. Six gave him her own brand of particular grin. You two seem to have had a meeting of the minds very quickly. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to keep working on that. This makes me happy, Ami, she told him with open honesty. I'm glad, Six. And that's another reason I came. I wanted to thank you in person for giving a shit enough to set this up. Even if it doesn't work out, the sex has been the best I've had in freaking years. No offense, but when you had me, you couldn't go that deep.
I get it, she promised.
And she is really not hard to look at. That made Six burst out laughing. Very true, she said through it. When she stopped, she told him, Stellan is really the man behind this magic. He's the one who talked to Arius for you. I already thanked him, but my guess is you were behind that.
She couldn't disagree, so she just inclined her head. He got closer and his voice dipped lower.
You've been great, Six. Thanks. Honest to God, it was my pleasure.
And you haven't seen the last of me. I'll be pitside on Tuesday, enjoying you winning for your princess.
Awesome, he muttered on a smile. Was she going to do what she was thinking about doing?
Well,
fuck it.
She went in and gave him a hug. It felt amazingly good when Ami's long arms wound around her and he hugged her back. They separated and she looked up at him.
Maybe I should take some Krav Maga classes. I know a guy if you want that.
She laughed again as they headed out. Stellan met them in the kitchen and walked with her to guide Ami to the front door. Ami gave her another hug, shook Stellan's hand, said,
See you all Tuesday. Hope to give you a good show,
on a teasing smile. Then he headed to his SUV in the drive. Six wrapped both hands around Stellan's elbow as they walked back, sharing, He and Naya have a date tonight.
Excellent, Stellan murmured.
They moved inside. He closed the door. And she looked up at him to see he was leading her forward, looking lost in thought. You okay? She asked. He turned his gaze to her.
Perfect,
he answered before he immediately turned to face forward again. He looked it, then again he always looked perfect. He even acted it, mostly. But for some reason, Six thought he was lying. Six was on her way to the Bolt for the evening's festivities when the music died and the cab filled with ringtones. She looked at the dash and took the call. Hey, Tucker, she greeted.
Hey, Six, have a minute?
He asked. She was hoping this was good news. She touched base with the two other members of the Bolt she'd recruited to keep an eye on things. But they'd had nothing for her outside of what she'd seen herself last night. And that day, Six had to do firm work during the day, so she wasn't free to follow Beardsley around everywhere. Therefore, she'd contacted Sylvie and Tucker, and they had work, but Tucker said he could get free in the late afternoon, try to hunt Beardsley down, and if he found him, watch him. If Beardsley was meeting with clients, maybe Tucker would see him. And maybe Tucker had seen him. Definitely, she answered.
Got good news,
he shared.
Fabulous. What's that?
Saw some money exchange hands between your guy and another guy. Got pictures? I'm gonna text them to you after this call. I wanted to get into his pad, but I couldn't hit it. And keep a tail on him. Can't do it tonight either, family time.
Right, no problems. And fantastic about the pictures.
You see the guy in them tonight with a girl? That's 2 plus 2 and it equals pimp.
He said.
It could be a drug buy, but it was only cash handed over. No product.
So, hopefully, it was about a girl. Brilliant, Six replied.
You able to hack into his machine?
He asked. No, my guess is he turns it off when he's not using it, and I haven't had the time to keep trying.
If he keeps a schedule of this shit and he's smart, he'd keep that offline anyway,
Tucker said.
But if this guy in the picture doesn't come in tonight, I'll try to squeeze a break and enter in tomorrow and see what I can find.
If I have the chance to hit that before you, I'll let you know. Keep me in your loop.
Will do. Gotta go. I'll send the pics.
Later, Tucker said. Later, and thanks, Tucker.
Pleasure.
He disconnected. Minutes later, she heard a beep that said she had a text. Stopped at a stoplight. She grabbed her phone and studied the 5 pictures Tucker sent, expanding them so she'd get a good recall of the face of the man meeting with Beardsley. She was 10 minutes away from the Bolt when another call came in. The number was local, but unknown. She hit the button to connect anyway. Six, she greeted.
Hey, Mistress Girl.
Dee's baritone filled her cab. Hey, she returned, finding herself smiling. Probably because this guy was solid, he was funny, he was full of personality, he treated his sob like gold, and he didn't like women getting fucked over.
How did last night go?
Woman, it sucks. Part of me hopes you don't get the goods on your man tonight, so you can see our act reach fruition. Last night was off the chain. Mad is moving like a caged tiger. He's so ready to get down to business. And Molly's super pumped you're going to be here tonight. She thinks playing for you as an audience is where it's at. Love my girl, so I take no offense. I did all the work, and my babe gives me 0 credit.
Through her continuing smile, Six replied, I very much appreciated all your efforts, Dee.
Word.
He grunted.
We're here. Mad is getting drinks. What do you want?
He asked. Do they have martini glasses? She asked back.
Fuck knows,
he replied.
I drink beer. Maddox drinks beer. And when Moll's feeling fancy, she drinks strawberry daiquiris and shit.
She laughed, not finding any of that a surprise. Gin martini, dry with olives.
Classed up mistress. My dig. We'll be at our table. See you soon for fun and games.
With that, he was gone. And Six drove the rest of the way, also feeling it slightly sucked that she'd have to have eyes everywhere, and not just on whatever show Maddox was intent to give that night. It was more. Stellan wasn't with her, and that definitely sucked. Therefore, Six decided, if this went on further than that night, she was going to let him in on it. She wasn't sure it was prudent to have him around when she was working. But it was high time he knew what she was doing, precisely where she was doing it, and to give him the choice if he wanted to be in attendance for some of the action or not. He could definitely take care of himself in the unlikely event he'd have to. She wasn't going to invite him to hang with her every time she was out on a job. But this had to do with the part of their lives that brought them together. This was different. She parked in the Bolt's parking lot, and it was relatively early for the scene, just before 9 at night, but it was already filling up. She hit the reception desk, paid for her guest pass, and since her background check was on file and current like the night before, she got through the process quickly. She headed into the club, lights flashing, music blaring, and up the steps to see the trio seated at the table where they'd played last night.
Before moving their way, she took a long pause to check the dance floor, the platform, the bars, to see if she could spot the man in the pictures, the dude who got turned off the night before, or any of the girls. No going. Though Beardsley was stationed at his table with a woman between his legs. God, she'd not said one word to the man and she wanted to hand him his ass. She did another scan before she headed to the shiny, happy menage a trois tribe. Six had marginally known the men prior to last night, but she had connected more fully with Molly at the Bolt because she was sweet, outgoing, and a chatterbox. However, walking up to them, for the first time she fully took them in. As noted, Diesel and Maddox were large. Maddox more compact and shorter, but he was definitely burly. At maybe 2 or 3 inches taller than Maddox, Diesel's muscle could only be described as hulking. Maddox had pitch-black hair, thick and wavy, onyx eyes, olive skin, a defined body liberally furred, including a thick bush around his cock that was impressive. He'd had pitch stubble last night, but clearly he'd not only been gifted with significantly endowed man parts, he also had more than his fair share of testosterone in those big balls of his, because today that stubble could better be described as a full beard. Diesel had sandy brown hair, longish and appealingly messy, and blue eyes under thick red-brown eyebrows. He was also stubbly, but not by much, and when she'd seen him naked in scenes before, she'd noted he had russet scatterings of body hair at chest, legs, and forearms. It wasn't a shocker why Holly liked playing Pixie. She was petite, slender, but long-legged, and had a wild mane of auburn hair that went nearly down to her waist at the back, in curls and waves that were layered and dipped to the middle in a V, probably to keep the weight manageable. And tonight, as she approached, Six noted that the warlord theme was gone. Maddox was wearing a black, short-sleeved Henley that, when Six got close, she saw, since his free arm was thrown wide around the back of a chair, he actually had to snip at the inside seams of the sleeves so it didn't cut off his circulation and his bulky biceps. He'd paired this with a thick black belt with a low-hanging end strap, faded jeans, and motorcycle boots. Diesel was in a lightweight, white, long-sleeve shirt, untucked, also faded jeans, with the addition of what looked like natural fraying from age at the thighs and knees, and brown cowboy boots. Molly looked adorable, in a very low-cut denim dress, with that cut going all the way down to a high waist that led to a flouncy, full, but short skirt. The dress was held up by denim cords that went through loops at the tips of the bodice and over her shoulders. Her hair was piled high, in a messy bunch on her head, with lots of tendrils floating around her neck and chest. And as she sat on a chair between her men, leaned in to Maddox with his arm around her shoulders, her legs lifted and draped over Diesel's thigh, she looked alarmingly spaced out. "Is Molly okay?" Six asked when she stopped at the group. Diesel shot her one of those impertinent grins he should consider patenting.
"Seems I earned an interesting night," he shared. "My service has started. And so Molly doesn't feel left out while Mad goes at me. Mad ordered it, and we ate her out and fucked her before we left. She came 6 times.
7, Molly mumbled.
"Sorry, baby,"
Dee murmured, and shot another grin at Six.
7.
Maddox reached out with his free arm, lifted the chair he'd had that arm draped around, angled it toward their tribe, and then slammed it down before moving his reach to the table and pushing a martini glass toward her. The warlord gear might be gone, but the warlord vibe clearly remained,
at least in communication style. Six read that particularly as sit as well as drink. She sat.
Got any news?
Maddox rumbled. Yes, she told him, and pulled her phone out of her cleavage. For her part, she was Mistress Six again, wearing a strapless black leather bustier that was just a band of material that swelled up higher above her breasts, but dipped slightly lower at her back. She wore this with a matching pencil skirt, with a high slit up the front, her platinum choker, her diamond studs, and a pair of black and silver stiletto-heeled sandals. She didn't carry a purse at clubs, unless she could lock it up somewhere. So that meant phone, key fob, and card wallet had to have a place against skin, under leather. And she was adept at that. She pulled up her text and turned the phone out to the trio, with the best picture Tucker had taken, zoomed out. The man leaned forward to study it, and since Molly was attached to them, she came with. Got someone helping me on the legwork with this, and he got photos of money changing hands, she informed him. You guys will be busy, but I have to keep an eye out for this one. If he comes, odds are the pay in that photo is for play. I need to get a shot of him here so I can put that together for Josh and Barkley. The men nodded, and both immediately turned eyes to the club, like they were looking for the guy. Yes, she could maybe partner up with both of them in future. Molly stared at the picture, looking mildly skeeved out.
Went back earlier, set up our room,
Maddox mutely boomed, which apparently was his normal talking voice, not just his getting jacked and good voice, though it sounded even more attractive when he was the latter.
Had a look around? Two girls already being given the business. Not that guy.
He bobbed his head toward the phone that Six had lowered.
And the three asshole DMs are on.
So Barkley isn't here tonight, she surmised.
I guess no,
Maddox replied.
And shit will undoubtedly go extreme.
Molly says she'll keep an eye with you while we're back there. She shook her head. Especially with those three DMs on, this has to look natural. You guys doing your thing with me as an invited observer. I can't risk Beardsley being tipped. Josh has moved forward with doing something about his shit. Don't worry. I'm good at observing without appearing to do it. Maddox jerked up his chin. D muttered.
Gotcha.
So, business as usual, she told them. Maddox stared at her like he wanted to burn holes through her with his eyes. D grinned his grin. A couple of somebodies wanted to get the party started. Just so you know, if I have to move, I will move, she asserted, to get a shot. If this guy is a John, I need a picture of him. But also, if shit is going down, that's out of line. Even if the DMs don't stop it, it's a Dom's responsibility to step in when play is out of hand. No one will question it. But like any club, if it's serious extreme without true consent or it's breaking rules, it will be investigated. The trio nodded as one, well, in a way. Maddox just jerked up his chin again.
One thing.
Maddox pushed out like a grunt. Yes? Six asked.
I'm on for you tonight. I'm working my boy, but we're all in this with you, Six. So Diesel knows how it might go down. Something happens, you need meat at your back, you tap in, and I'm there.
His full lips spread in a slow, striking, nasty, awesome smile that promised interesting things for Dee's future.
If I need to take care of business with you, Dee can wait.
Word,
Dee murmured, his blue eyes dancing even in the dark. Thanks, boys. A six-pack as payback for when this is over seems lame. So we'll negotiate something appropriate when this crap is done, Six replied.
Babe, trust us. No payback necessary, Maddox declared. You hadn't approached our woman. We were talking about doing something anyway.
And straight up, Dee added. Last night, even on the job, you made loving more fun. And I'm guessing we'll get that tonight, too. Even if you have to go off and deal with a fuckwad.
She lifted her drink to them in a salute. While it cemented in her mind, she liked these guys. All of them.
She took a sip. Can I ask a favor, though?
Maddox requested.
Shoot, Six invited.
Maddox didn't hesitate, indicating the glass in her hand with another nod of his head.
Suck that back and quick, Mr. Six. I got ass to fuck.
24. Inspired. 6.
Station 6 and 7, right beside each other,
Molly whispered to her, as they moved through the sliding glass door to the room the trio had booked for the evening. They'd made a good request for space. Six surveyed the area and the two mostly serviceable but comfortable-looking armchairs that had been set side to side at a slight angle to the room. With Six sitting in the outside one, she'd have direct visual on all of Station 6 and most of Station 7. She nodded to Molly, murmuring, "Thanks, babe," as Maddox ordered.
Boots off. Shirt open and on. Edge of the vault. Jeans to thighs.
Molly gave her a bright-eyed, excited smile and moved to the small seating area. Six carried the remains in her martini glass there and settled in. From there, she watched Dee saunter casually to the narrow end of a padded vault, undoing the buttons on his shirt as he moved, not exactly appearing like he was chomping at the bit, not wasting any time either.
How often do you guys play?
Six asked Molly as she watched Diesel.
At the Bolt, if life schedules work. Twice a week. And if it happens, it has to be twice a week, one after the other. She answered, and Six looked to her. One night for Dee to go at Mad. One night for Mad to have Dee.
Molly grinned at her. We have fun at home. But Bolt nights usually go all night. So we don't do it very often, or we wouldn't get a lot of sleep. Six grinned back and turned her attention again to Dee. He'd made it to the vault, had his shirt undone, and was bent to pull off his boots and socks. When he did, he tossed them away. He then worked the jeans, pulling them down over the molded rounds of a superior ass, widening his stance so they caught on his bulky thighs. Positioned, he rested his hands on the vault. He was at an angle to her, but she mostly had his back, and his cock apparently was hard, so lifted. In other words, she couldn't see it, but his heavy sack was full and high. He was hung that way beautifully. Though what he was not was trust, at least not at his balls. But it appeared he'd come prepared, as in pre-lubed, liberally. Probably a good call. Maddox was bent over a new bag of tricks, this one a large black duffel on the floor beside Molly's chair. Six looked back to Dee to see his head turned to look over his shoulder at Maddox. He must have felt her attention because he looked to her and winked. Okay, maybe in a totally platonic, if you didn't count watching him participate in kinky sex kind of way. She was thinking she loved this guy. She tipped her lips up at him and then looked away, taking this golden opportunity when nothing was happening to fake offhandedly glance around the outside playroom space. As she did, she took in the emaciated, glassy-eyed girl, getting almost vanilla worked by a shortish man with a beer belly in Station 6. She also saw a girl whose face was obstructed, giving a blowjob in Station 7. Last, she clocked two of the three DMs, getting a good look at them for future tattling.
Bud, you know that ain't right.
Maddox growled, and Six turned her attention back to the vault. Doing so, she caught Maddox shoving a hand into Dee's back forcefully, driving him to his forearms on the vault. He ran a hand over the ass now extended to him.
There it is,
he murmured. He took his hand from Dee's ass and calmly tossed the tail of Dee's shirt up, so it was folded over around his shoulder blades, leaving the rest of his back bare.
There it is,
Maddox murmured a repeat, his tone different, and Six sensed Molly, whose sexed-out vibe had been very slowly retreating, go instantly alert. She also noted Dee was no longer cool and laid back, though anticipatory. His ass and thighs both visibly tensed.
Oh, my,
Molly whispered.
What?
Six whispered back.
I should have known,
Molly kept whispering.
What?
Six repeated, also still whispering. Molly spared her but a brief glance, saying,
It's going to be an awesome night.
Six looked back at the vault to see Maddox running his hands slowly over the exposed skin on Dee's body. Back, ribs, sides, ass crack, outer thighs, inner thighs. He stopped, cupping balls.
Mad?
Dee said quietly, warily.
You bought it, bro.
Maddox said gently, massaging those balls.
Fuck,
Dee hissed.
Awesome,
Molly breathed. Six didn't understand what was happening, and she watched closely to see if she could get a lock on it, when Maddox went in with both hands between Dee's thighs, stroking cock, massaging balls, and getting low so he could run the edge of his teeth over one cheek of Diesel's ass. Diesel's head bent back. He liked it like that. Maddox must have sensed the move because in his position now at the back of Dee's thighs, he surely couldn't see it. But he still growled,
You bow that head when your master's at you, motherfucker.
Dee bowed his head.
Lord God, so pretty.
Maddox spent some time coddling and caressing his boy's exposed flesh, with hands, fingertips, lips, teeth, and tongue. And Six found this was not good, because it was good, and it would be expected she'd want to watch it, this meaning she might not have times to look away and search for Picture Man, take stock of the DMs, or keep track of what was happening in Stations 6 and 7. She got a shot when Maddox moved away from a slightly trembling but otherwise unmoving Dee and headed toward the bag. When she looked, she saw no change in players in those stations and no extreme play, but she did manage to see the third DM and give him a good assessment, fortunately without him noticing. It was the crack and grunt that brought her attention back to the vault. Maddox was off to Dee's side, wielding a long, thick leather strap, and doing it with no small amount of skill, landing blows on buttocks, thighs, and on Diesel's lower back. Dee's ass jumped with each strike, and Maddox wasn't feeling stingy going at him until Dee had no choice to be up on his toes and was visibly gritting his teeth. He was also visibly harder, his thick veined cock hanging lower so Six could see it because of the weight. It got to be too much, and his head automatically shot back, which made Maddox start to move in, dropping the strap. With quick, expert hands, he undid his belt and yanked it free of its loop so fast, the end cracked the air like a whip when it was free. He folded it once, twice. Putting a hand to the back of Dee's head, shoving it face first into the vault, Maddox slapped Diesel's ass with quick whacks of the folded-over belt, rumbling.
Where's that head belong?
Bad Maddox, Dee grunted through more blows. Maddox didn't relent.
You feel heat in that fine ass?
Fuck yeah,
Dee groaned.
Guess what, Diesel? Maddox let out in what was his version of a purr, which was more of a rolling grumble.
You made me wait to blow, but you're coming with me every time tonight. I'm gonna make you blow.